only a kind of disgust that he could hate a man, two men actually, so deeply. "I've come here to ask you a question," I said, feeling cold and implacable inside. "One question. I think I know the answer to it, but I want to hear it from your lips." His eyes narrowed. "Did you have Alex's ship sabotaged? Are the rumors true?" "No," he snapped, fists clenching. "Alex was my son, my flesh and blood, not like you. He was part of me. How could I harm him?" I believed him. I felt the steely hatred gripping my heart fade a little. I realized that I wanted to believe him, despite everything. I did not want to go through my life thinking that he had murdered Alex. "All right, then," I said quietly. "Then it's over."
"Is it?"
Looking up at me, he said,
"You think I'm going to let you get your hands on my $10 billion now, after what you've done?"
"I already have my hands on it," I said. "I contacted your lawyers as soon as we established lunar orbit. The money's still in escrow. All that's needed is my signature."
"And mine," he snapped.
"You'll sign."
"Like hell I will."
"If you don't, the news media get the whole story. You, Fuchs, my mother, me. The entire story. They'll love it."
You...
He ran out of words. Heading for the ornate desk in the far corner of the room, I said, "I'll be going Earthside as soon as I leave here. I've got to start organizing the next expedition to Venus."
"The next?"
"That's right. We've learned how to survive even on the planet's surface. Now we're going back to begin the real exploration." Martin Humphreys shook his head, whether in wonder or sorrow or disbelief, I neither knew nor cared. "You'll be able to sign the escrow papers electronically," I told him. "Your lawyers have already agreed to that. You won't have to leave Selene."
"Get out of my sight," he snarled.
"Nothing could please me more," I said. "But I want to leave you something. Something you've bought and paid for." He glared at me as I slipped a data diskette into his desktop computer. "Here's Venus," I said. All the room's walls, even the windows, were smart screens. Suddenly they all showed the glowing red-hot surface of Venus, the views that little Hecate's cameras had recorded. I punched out all the overhead lights. Martin Humphreys sat, sagging and defeated, as the sullen red anger of Venus enveloped him. I could almost feel the heat as I stood by the desk. Walking slowly to the door, I watched as the wall screens showed the wreckage of phosphorus scattered across those baking rocks, with those strange feeding arms stretched over it. Martin Humphreys sat transfixed, actual perspiration breaking out on his forehead. I grasped the door handle and waited. The ground opened up, a white-hot fury of lava swallowing the wreckage, burning, destroying, melting everything it touched with its incandescent rage. I left Martin Humphreys sitting there, staring into the blinding fury of Venus. I left him in hell. As I headed toward the rocket port and the shuttle that would take me back to Majorca, back to Marguerite, I wondered if Alex had left samples of his sperm before he ventured off on his space missions. It would be the prudent thing to do if he intended to someday marry and have children, a protection against the radiation levels that could be encountered in space during a solar storm. Alex was a prudent man. I felt certain that he had sperm samples tucked away safely, perhaps in the Connecticut house. I wondered how Marguerite would feel when I asked her to carry his cloned zygote. Would she do that for me? It was a lot to ask, I knew. We'd have children of our own, of course, but first I wanted to bring Alex back. I wondered how it would feel to be his big brother. This concludes the reading of Venus by Ben Bova. Copyright 2000 by Ben Bova. This book was read by Stefan Rudnicki and directed by Judy Young. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with the Barbara Bova Literary Agency and was produced in 2011 by Blackstone Audio, Inc., which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.